Okay, this is talking with F. Murayama on, what is it, 18 August 1979 at the IAU in Montreal. Can you first tell me what your education was, what field it was in, and when you first came into contact with radio astronomy?
And in 1949, when I was graduated from the University of Tokyo, mm-hmm. where I have a training of spectroscopy.
So it was astronomy that you were trained in.
Yes. But in 1949, the Tokyo Astronomical Observatory was going to begin the radio research. And I joined the team.
I see. And who was the leader of the group?
Takeo Hatanaka. Hatanaka was a leader at that time. And the staff involved in this radio astronomy at that time was Takeo Hatanaka and Shigemasa Suzuki, mm-hmm. who is now in Australia.
Right.
And and myself. Mm-hmm. The three persons started the radio astronomy in our country.
Right. Was Hatanaka, was his training as an engineer or an astronomer?
No, he's an astronomer in astrophysics.
And so how did he know the radio engineering techniques?
No, he knows nothing about radio engineering.
So how did you do it then?
At first, Suzuki is a radio engineer.
I see.
And at first, the radio receiver is completely constructed by the radio research laboratory in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summer of this year, 1949,
yes.
the first radio receiver operated at 200 megahertz
yes.
was working.
Right.
Now after that, Dr. Suzuki and myself were involved in to construct the receiver and the antenna. At that time, the electronics industry in our country mm-hmm. was very poor.
Right.
And we could not find any electronic parts like a vacuum tube
yes.
and condenser mm-hmm. and a resistor, which can be used for high frequencies higher than, say, 50 megahertz. We cannot find such a thing. So what we did is to find them do you know the name of Akihabara in Japan? Akihabara is a place
no.
which is crowded with electronic appliance shop.
Yes.
But in those days, the shop treats the junk.
Yes.
Broken out from United States
war surplus.
War surplus.
Right.
Broken from B-29 bombers.
Right. Right.
And they broke up into pieces, and we bought.
So you got these old U.S. war
yes.
surplus
yes.
radio receivers.
Yes. We use some stair-tight vest air condenser.
Yes. You had to cannibalize these things. But let me ask, I know in Germany mm-hmm. that research to do with radio or radar was forbidden until uh-huh. 1955. Is this not true in Japan? It was not...
And the radio astronomy is in, prohibited. But...
radar was not allowed.
Active radio equipment is forbidden.
But passive was
passive
all right.
Is
I
not
see.
Forbidden.
I see. In Germany, it was even passive was forbidden apparently until later. So you got this 200 megahertz receiver working, and then what did you do with it?
And at first we made the. Measurement of the flux, radio flux, daily variation of radio flux, and also measurement of the feature of noise storms.
Right.
And unfortunately, in 1949, it's a rather active period
right.
in solar activity, so we could easily catch the radiation through the sun.
Right, and what did you learn about these storms? What were the main results of this monitoring?
I think the first result was the picture of noise storms. I suppose
this was a report of the ionospheric research mm-hmm. where you talked about mm-hmm. noise storms and how they associated with sunspots.
Oh yes. But I think that it was I
may have missed one publication there.
Maybe this one. Maybe the important partial eclipse at the ice monitoring. I don't remember quite accurately.
You're not sure which the results were at that time?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Well, it seems like this from this publication in 1952 mm-hmm. that you were finding that the noise storms correlated with sunspots,
yes.
and that they were much more likely when it was meridian passage.
Yes.
And so forth. Now, were you reading all of the worldwide literature from Australia and England and Canada about solar radio astronomy at that time? Were you reading all of the other papers?
Yes, of course. We can read the foreign literature at the CIA library.
Through the CIA library?
The CIA library in Japan. Oh, we can read Nature and Astrological Journal, and
You mean the Central Intelligence Agency of the? Is that what you? Oh
yes.
No, or do you mean? Do you mean not the CIA, but the
CIE, perhaps.
You mean the American agency that has libraries in other countries? What is it called? The U.S. Information Service. Is that what you mean?
U.S. Information Service.
It has all American magazines and books about America and so forth. These libraries are in many...
But I suppose not only the American magazine, but also...
But many others, Nature and monthly notices of the Royal Astronomical Society and so forth, I see.
We cannot find the philosophical magazine and the proceeding of the Royal Society of London.
They were not there, I think.
Yes.
So, it seems then that you had a going group. Were you still the only group in Japan? When was the second group?
The second group is Tanaka.
Yes.
Haruo Tanaka's group. One year later, from our start at the University of Nagoya,
yes,
yes, has a research institute for atmospherics.
Right.
At that institute, at solar radio research at centimeter wavelengths started.
Right. Now, did that start independently of your group?
Oh yes, completely mm-hmm. independently. Mm.
And you continued at the shorter, at the longer. You continued at the longer wavelengths.
Oh yes. At first we made an observation at meter wavelengths, and at Nagoya University made at centimeter wavelengths.
Right.
But in 1951, Akabane.
Yes.
Who is now in charge of cosmic radio at the observatory.
I see.
And joined us and constructed the receiver at the kids has a training of electronics, and he constructed a new receiver at 10 centimeter.
Ah, yes. And what? And that was in 51?
51. Yes.
That early, I see. Well, that was only 1 year or 2 years. It was only 2 years after your 200 megahertz receiver.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. In 1949, 200 megahertz.
Right.
And 60 megahertz.
Right. And
100 megahertz. These are intended to make a polarization observation,
mm-hmm.
Of noise storms.
Right.
And with this, perhaps these instruments, where Hatanaka Suzuki and myself went to Hokkaido to make eclipse observation, in hoping that to locate the source of noise storms,
right.
By occultation of the moon.
Right.
But unfortunately, at that time, the sun is very inactive.
Very quiet.
Yes. So,
how far away did you have to go for that eclipse?
Hokkaido.
Yeah. How many kilometers away?
From Tokyo?
From Tokyo.
It's about 1,000 kilometers or so.
Right. And so you just picked up your antennas and your receivers
and
went. it seems also that in 1953 that you began doing some theoretical calculations of the expected temperature as a function of electron density and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Were you switching then from doing observational work to being a theorist, or or doing both?
Both. And observation and theoretical, and also I must soldering.
Doing soldering, right? So it was a little bit of everything. And was the group still only really three or four people by that time?
As I told you, in 1949, three.
That was right.
And three. And in 1951.
Right, then.
And Akabane Jr.
Yes.
And the first three persons, at present, the first three persons not affiliated to the radio research in Japan. Hatanaka died about 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm. 1965
and,
or so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Suzuki went
to Australia.
And I changed my course from radio to optical.
So, what sort of work, when did you change to optical?
About 1965
roughly,
or so.
Yeah. Well, looking at some more of your papers here, it looks like that one of you, anyway, went to a meeting in London in 1955.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to that meeting, or was that Hatanaka?
Hatanaka went.
Yeah. Did you go to any meetings in the 1950s outside of Japan?
I don't remember exactly, but at that time it is rather difficult to go out.
Yes, right.
Your
sure. And then there was another eclipse in 1955 where you had three different stations.
Yes.
Can you tell me about what you did in that eclipse?
As this eclipse, we 1955.
August 50. Where was it here? June 55. Three stations, 10 centimeters to 7 centimeters.
And at this eclipse, at that time we have several radio telescopes. At Tokyo, we have a 10 meters dish,
mm-hmm.
On equatorial mountain.
Right.
And we went to Kagoshima At that time, there are those southernmost place in her country.
Yes.
Kagoshima.
Right. Because that was where the eclipse was maximum in Japan.
Yes. This eclipse is only partial for our country.
Right.
But Kagoshima is maximum.
Right.
In Kagoshima, we can eclipse maximum. And we, I and Akabane went there.
Yes.
And with the radio telescope having the diameter of 1.2 meters.
Yes.
At 3,000 megacycles. And here in Kagoshima and Tokyo, we have a 10 meter dish,
mm-hmm.
and also operated at 10 centimeter.
Yes.
And also at the Toyokawa, a Nagoya group. At, I mean Tanaka's group.
Yes.
At, they have
37 150 megahertz
right. Receiver at Toyokawa, and Tokyo has eclipse is very small,
yes.
Only covered by the
only a few percent. Yeah.
But Kagoshima is about 60% or so,
right.
And the Toyoka is about 20 or so.
And
with these three experiments, we could locate
mm-hmm.
the active region
right.
very precisely.
Mm-hmm.